Hallelujah. Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. Hallelujah. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. Every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the Passover festival. When Jesus was 12 years old, they attended this festival as usual. After the celebration was over, they started home to Nazareth, but Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents didn't miss him at first because they assumed he was with the other travelers. But when he didn't show up that evening, they started to look for him among their relatives and friends. When they couldn't find him, they went back to Jerusalem to search for him there. 3 days later, they finally discovered him in the temple, sitting among the religious teachers, listening to them, asking questions. All who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. His parents didn't know what to think. "Son," his mother said to him, "why have you done this to us? Your father and I have been frantic, searching for you everywhere." "But why did you need to search?" he asked. "Didn't you know I must be in my father's house?" But they didn't understand what he meant. Then he returned to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. And his mother stored all these things in her heart. Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and all the people. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
Shall we pray? Living holy God, we are humbled that we can come to you in prayer and that we can call you Father. This morning, as our nation faces uncertainty, thank you that we can have confidence in you and that our lives are hid in Christ, Jesus, our Saviour, Lord and Friend. Speak afresh to our hearts this morning. We ask in his wonderful name. Amen. In Zephaniah, we find a picture of God that I hope you will find encouraging. Let's look at verse 17 this morning. "For the Lord your God is living among you. He is a mighty Saviour. He will take delight in you with gladness. With his love, he will calm all your fears. He will rejoice over you with joyful songs." The wonderful thing about prophecy is that it had partial fulfillment in Israel, didn't it, in the time of Christ? And yet there is more to come because we are being gathered into Israel, God's people. And so there's something for us that's coming in the future. And so these words speak to us this morning. "The Lord our God is with us. God is present and not remote. He's not sneaking up on us suddenly from behind and putting a hand on our shoulder, but present all the time, close and personal. In our fragile world, torn apart by difference, selfish ambition and uncertainty, where can we find security? Not in the physical, transient things that are fading, not in any promises made by those in authority. We know all things don't last forever, and promises, even lifetime guarantees, are not really worth the paper they're written on. If this world were our only home, our only hope, we could understand why we'd have a bucket list. Someone spoke to me about their bucket list. It was time to do the things on their bucket list. Their mate was going into Addenbrooke's for radiotherapy. Why had he wasted all his life? It was time to do the things on the bucket life. He must get on with it. He was my age. Why do we live for selfish fulfillment while there is today? As Christians, our lives lie beyond the confines of time. In God, who is mighty to save. God is present with us. He is also mighty to save. The promises of God are certain. They can be relied on. God will return in the person of Jesus to reign as king, and there will be new creation and peace. Many of you will remember how, as parents, or maybe you still are, divided by the competing demands of work and home, your spouse and your children. There would have been times when you ran out of energy for what was required of you. Maybe you felt you'd run out of resource, or you had a pipe dream that maybe you'd just run away. You'd get the train in the opposite direction tonight. Surely some of you had that dream of just disappearing, walking away from the hassle and the trouble. Listen to this. God will take delight in you. Many of you are grandparents and some great-grandparents, and I guess one thing you're good at is taking delight in your grandchildren. For those of you who are parents, you might occasionally take delight in them too. And as you see them grow older, you perhaps take more delight in them than you did when they were being children. Many of those competing demands of early years are no longer present for some of us, and we can have both space and time to delight in our grandchildren, if only we could visit them. Delight is a verb, to give joy to someone or derive joy from something. God, according to Zephaniah, takes great delight in you. You give him joy. How often have we sung, "Our God is an awesome God. He reigns in heaven above. Our God is an awesome God." Perhaps that's how you feel about God, but in a negative sense, rather than being awestruck by both his glory and his compassionate heart. Maybe to you, God is awesome in the sense of power, and you're a little wary. Such a view is to miss the aspect of his character as the one who delights in you. Of course, we come into his presence with humility, knowing that there is nothing we can bring, not trying to justify ourselves, but receiving the justification he offers through his Son, Jesus, bringing just humble and contrite hearts. Verse 17 continues, God will quiet you with his love or calm all your fears. There is a sense in this verse that God resets our lives to bring balance or shalom, a wholeness of peace. How often do you feel you have to put a brave face on, to be stoical in the face of difficulty? No one has told you to do that. Here there is an invitation to come, so that God, our Heavenly Father, might quiet our troubled souls with his love. And he may want to use a brother or sister in Christ to show you that. We may be depriving ourselves of love if we refuse. But unless we're honest and willing to name our fears, then it's hard to receive God's love. Such love cannot be earned. It's not conditional in any way, or meted out in proportion to any good that we might have done. God's love is his character, expressed to all who come to him and who need his quieting, just as your younger child or grandchildren find comfort when you embrace them and draw them close, secure in your presence. I remember one time when one of our children was very distressed, and they were quite big at that stage, and they were fighting their distress. And I had to, it was a bit like a wrestling match, you know, when one opponent does a slam dunk on the other. You know, and I had to do a slam dunk on this boy and just hold him. And eventually, he just settled. And he was secure and peaceful. God is okay with a wrestling match with you. And he might send a brother or sister who will be okay with a wrestling match with you because God wants to love you. In moments of stress, a parent sings over their child. And just as they think the child is asleep and stop, a little voice says, "Keep singing, Daddy." God not only sings over us, but rejoices over us with singing. To rejoice is to be happy or make someone happy. God delights in us when we turn from our preoccupations, our desire to be in control, and put ourselves at his feet. When we delight in his presence. And that is what our worship is together on a Sunday. To encounter the presence of God together as his Spirit fills us and the spaces between us. And when we attend to his word and respond with hymns and prayers and spiritual songs. When our worship joins with that of the heavenly host, who surround the throne of God singing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty," and recognize with them that in spite of all that's wrong, the whole earth is full of his glory. In this Advent, we can find confidence to face tomorrow, knowing his presence with us every day and hearing his singing over us when we turn to him. Not just until Christmas, but until the second Advent when Christ will return. Blessed are we, Father God, when we read your words. Blessed are we when we hear them and take to heart what is written. Soften our hearts that we may know your delight and open our ears to hear the songs of love you are singing over us. Amen.